Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your guide to everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is food activist and waste expert Jordan Figueredo. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
So food waste, we know it's a problem when we go to the grocery store and buy some beautiful fresh spinach and then it wilts and it sits in the back of the crisper drawer and it doesn't get used and it goes in the trash. But break it down. How big of a problem is this at scale and what are the repercussions for us, for the environment, for the food industry?
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty huge problem. The data is not perfect, but somewhere between 40%, almost half of all food from farm to fork to landfill, as it's sort of coined, is wasted. So there's waste really all along the supply chains, at farms, along the way, at stores, at homes. And that really translates into a number of effects or a number of impacts on the environment. So 25% of all fresh water goes to food we never eat. Depending on who you ask, 7 to 10% of greenhouse gas emissions come from food we never eat, more if you consider the land use changes and land clearing. So it's really quite impactful. And at the same time that we're wasting all this food, a lot of which is good or was good if we would have just gotten it to somebody to eat it, there are roughly 50 million food insecure folks in the U.S. who don't have enough food to eat on a regular basis. So the impacts are massive, and that's why I'm so passionate about it.
How did you get involved in this work? And tell us specifically about the Ugly Fruits and Vegetables campaign, which is such a unique way into the problem of food waste.
Right. So my day job, I work on recycling and composting with the local community to reduce waste, you know, sort of the put your materials here or there after you're done with them. But I read Jonathan Bloom's book, American Wasteland, like 6 years ago, and it really stuck with me how much good food we're wasting or even content to compost where we're lucky enough to have that, while people are food insecure, while it's such a huge impact on our environment. So I wanted to do more. I developed some series of events with Dana Gunders called the Zero Food Waste Forum. And then I held this thing called a Feeding the 5,000 in Oakland, which feeds people, thousands of people, on food that would have been wasted, talks about solutions, sort of the positive angle to this issue, the positive solutions. And then from there, I got hooked on Ugly Produce because I found out that roughly 20 to 40% of all produce is left on the farm, mostly for cosmetic reasons. There's other things that go along with it, but cosmetic reasons mostly considered or attributed to size even. So things being too small or too big to fit perfectly on those shelves in the grocery stores, or the color is slightly off, or there's a little wind scar on it. So I kind of got stuck on that and wanted to do something more about it, because at that point, roughly 2+ years ago, no one was really talking about Ugly Produce much. They were talking about food waste on the home a little bit, you know, more and more. But this big issue, 20 billion pounds in the U.S. roughly left on farms of good, perfectly good produce. So I saw pictures of some funny carrots that look like people, one kind of hip-hop dancing looking carrot, a thumbs-up strawberry, some other things. And then I thought, okay, maybe we can draw more attention to this issue by sharing these funny looking images of produce. And then that sort of pulls people in. It draws people in, especially foodies, right? Who love Instagram pictures and all kinds of imagery with food. Maybe if we show those images and make it fun instead of sort of the negative message, we could raise awareness and make a difference in this sort of impact or in this area. And it's really worked. People really love the funny pictures and the comments, and it's just taken off amazingly since.
Well, and also sort of normalizing the idea that there isn't just one way for a carrot to look. There isn't just one size right that an apple has to be. And I feel like one of the things that's great about it is that kids get so excited when they see vegetables that look like other things. And the idea that, you know, when you learn about produce when you're young and learn about how vegetables are grown and where they come from and why they don't look the same just as every box of cereal looks exactly the same, they become not scary or gross or unappealing, but actually delicious.
Exactly. Yeah. If we could bring Ugly Produce into every single school in this way, I've heard some schools that, you know, try to use organic with spots and parents freak out like it's something wrong with it. But if we could bring organic and Ugly Produce into schools in this sort of fun way, I think every student would be on board. And then in the end, it could save their schools money because Ugly Produce is to be had for less. But yeah, it's something people tell me all the time. Like, I share the pictures with my kids, or that's why I kind of have to keep it PG. there's some pretty risque looking carrots and potatoes and whatnot out there. But since I do have a lot of kids paying attention to what I post, yeah, it resonates and it makes it more fun. Not that every piece of quote ugly produce is going to be phenomenal looking, but that it's sort of celebrating the uniqueness of different shapes and sizes, just like people. We're all different. Nature doesn't grow us the same. And certainly in some ways we've been kind of sheltered from this, right? I've been going to grocery stores most of my life where I had no idea produce grew in different sizes and shapes than what I saw. So to some degree, I've been trying to get a grasp on this. And if you think about it, it might be upwards of almost half of all produce doesn't grow the way a grocery store wants it. It just gets siphoned off into, you know, juicers and applesauce and sauce makers, frozen foods, but there's just still so much more. And it is fun. We should be bringing more produce to kids this way. And in the end, they could eat more because it's cheaper.
So let's bust some myths. What are some things that people believe about, you know, you mentioned spots on vegetables or expiration dates or things that kind of lead to more food waste in home kitchens that actually people could start to look at differently?
Yeah. So the whole idea, well, I guess one of the first things is expiration dates, right? They really aren't expiration dates. It's best buy or maybe it's peak freshness is kind of the best term I can think of as peak freshness. For most things, that's when, you know, it doesn't look quite as fresh anymore. It might start to brown a little or wrinkle a little, but it's still perfectly good to eat. So it's more of using the senses test when you see things and you think, uh-oh, it might be expiring. I mean, even milk, Dana Gunders is great at pointing this out. Milk that's sour, you can use in pancakes. Even though it smells kind of funky, you can still use it. It's not bad, as long as it's been homogenized before. And so that's one thing. The other thing is this idea, right, that produce that has some sort of a scrape or scar or wrinkle is bad when it's not. I mean, sometimes there might be a little ding here and there, and you can just cut those out. That's not technically the ugly stuff, but that's another way to look at it too, is that if, you know, something is bruised, don't throw it out. Or if one strawberry out of the whole clamshell has mold, don't throw the whole thing out. Just throw that one out. So those are some of the things that I kind of easily point to. Some other, I guess, tips that I like to go by is the produce that off-gasses the most, like bananas, tomatoes, apples. Keep those by themselves if you can, because they speed up the ripening process of other things around it. That's one thing that I've learned, that tomatoes really can kill whatever's next to it if you leave them in the same space. But a lot of this stuff, people really, it's simple things that you can kind of tweak here and there to save food or just not throw it away as quickly. And actually SaveTheFood.com is my kind of go-to resource for those tips.
Before we continue, a quick word from our podcast sponsor. Are you looking for an easy way to batch cook healthy food at home? Whether you're cooking chicken, seafood, veggies, or anything else, Joule Sous Vide is the tool for you. Joule heats food to the exact right temperature and then holds it there so it's hot and ready to serve whenever you're ready to eat. There's no guesswork and nothing is ever over or undercooked. Whether you're making chicken for two or pulled pork for 20, the process is easy and reliable. You can even save time by cooking right from frozen. Drop vacuum-sealed frozen protein right into the pot. There's no need to defrost. Joule is small and mighty, so you can cook a lot at once. If you can fit it in a cooler, you can cook it with one Joule. Need inspiration? Cook from over 100 step-by-step recipes in the Joule app. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Joule and use the code CLEVER, all lowercase, to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/Joule, code CLEVER. The code is case sensitive, so be sure to type lowercase CLEVER. Joule, perfect food every time. How can shopping smarter help? I think we make a lot of decisions about buying things that seem like a good deal and buying more than we need and not really thinking ahead to when we're going to use this food. What are some shopping tips you give people to reduce food waste?
Right. It's definitely a thing. This whole buy one, get one free can be really bad. Buy in bulk. I mean, when you buy more than you need, that's when waste naturally happens a lot of the times. Buying on a whim, right? I have this massive craving for sweets and chocolate. And so I try not to buy those at the store on a shopping trip, because then, you know, I'll naturally, you know, I'll eat them, but sometimes not if you buy too much, right? If you have this whim of, oh, that sounds good, and it's not along your regular routine, then it may sit in the cabinet for a while or in the pantry. So keeping to a list at the store is good. Maybe resisting the get one free if you don't really need it. Trying to sort of consider once you get your food home too, what you can do with it, like as far as leftovers and getting creative. Don't be too afraid of that stuff hiding in the back of the fridge, but maybe try to bring it forward before it goes bad. So yeah, there's lots of things you can do, but they all can be pretty simple. It doesn't have to be too complicated.
How about storing food to help it last longer and even using food that is maybe at the tail end of its life cycle? You mentioned that milk, once it isn't good to drink, as long as it's pasteurized, it's still safe to use in pancakes, which I don't think a lot of people know. What are some other uses you have for things that are not really rotten or spoiled, but kind of at the tail end of their appeal?
One of the coolest things I've done when I do get sort of the lettuce in the stock, not in a bag, but when you get, you know, whole lettuce leaves, whether it's whatever type of lettuce it is, if it starts to get wilty, you can splash it in a cold water bath, like in a big cup or a pitcher, and it doesn't take too long to perk it back up. It's pretty amazing because, you know, when you think about it, it is a plant. All it needs is some water. So that's one of the things that I like to do. Other things are sort of, if I do see some stuff that's getting a little soggy, that maybe it doesn't taste as great whole, you can always throw it in a blender in a smoothie. Sometimes that's a great way also to get your kids to eat greens. For my kid, he doesn't really eat lettuce that much, so I can throw kale in a smoothie and he thinks it's great as long as there's some strawberries with it. So I guess it's sort of, there are some things like that, but those are my favorite, I guess. The smoothies, throw it all in the smoothie, even if it doesn't, might not go, as long as you have some fruit with it, it still tastes good. And the perking up the lettuce is really cool. You can do that with some other vegetables too, like carrots. When they get a little floppy, you can stick them in some water and they perk up.
How about storing food to help it last longer? I know that in the winter, I kind of get the surfeit of root vegetables, and I don't want to use them all at once, and I know they're good for a while, but I'm not really sure how long or how to help them last as long as possible. What are some tips for food storage?
Right. So like I said before, with the off-gassing, definitely try to keep those things away. I think it's pretty much the vegetables need more moisture, fruits need less. So that's why we have the different drawers and the crispers and whatnot. People do like to keep certain items outside of the fridge, like tomatoes, but my family prefers them cold. So there are things you can do to actually keep things like potatoes or tomatoes outside of the fridge that can prolong their life too. So in terms of kind of managing your fridge too, that's where this whole idea of things that are going bad soon need to sort of be brought to the front, or people sometimes have an eat me first bin or box, so you can kind of stay aware of what's in your fridge and it doesn't get shoved in the back and then wasted because you don't know it's there. So it does take some sort of managing. Even Bea Johnson is a friend I have that's like the zero waste guru of the entire world, really. She's got it down to like a jar of trash for an entire year, and storage and keeping things simple is kind of her MO. And what she does for her pantry, and I try to do more, is keep your shelves not so deep. So don't line things and stuff things and in your pantry so that you can't even see it. But if you can see what you've purchased and what you want to eat, then it's less likely to be wasted. So that's another big tip also, is to make sure you can try to see what you have. And then, of course, if you can purchase less often, then that makes it easier. But yeah, storing things and keeping things organized is a big deal. We've all done that, where we shove things in the back of the fridge or the pantry and then find it months later to be disgusting, and then it's done.
So I think a good takeaway is just also to look at what you have. Look at the food that's in your fridge and in your pantry, and don't let it get three layers deep before you start cooking the things you have instead of buying more.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if you can shop more often, so you don't have a fridge that's so full you can't see anything, that helps too. Freezers too, right? Use your freezer. If stuff, your meal is kind of, you know, your leftovers might be going bad soon, you can throw it in the freezer and then maybe it'll be good a couple weeks from now instead. So yeah, it's the whole process. The freezer is our friend, as a lot of people say, for chopped up vegetables and fruits too. If those might be going bad, rather than saying, okay, well, I'm not going to get to use this, so I'm going to throw it away, just throw it in the freezer before it goes bad.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing these tips with us today, Jordan.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Check out the website, uglyfruitandveg.org, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster, your guide to everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking.